Welcome to the Livingston Herald, the quarterly magazine of Livingston Church. This is the summer issue, and it's issue number 82 for June 2019.
And we start with a letter from our new editor. Welcome to the June edition of the Livingston Herald. First, a quick introduction of myself. I am Alan Kerr, new editor of the Church magazine. My family has had a long association with Livingston Church. Great-grandaunt Maggie Scott was present at the laying of the foundation stone. I myself was baptised in Livingston by the Reverend Ian M. Roy and admitted as a member by the Reverend John M. M. Lafferty. It is with a giddy mixture of nerves and excitement that I take on the reins of magazine editor. The Livingston Herald has been a long-standing feature for our congregation, providing a combination of entertainment, thought-provoking articles, and outreach to our members and beyond. The quality and content of the magazine is a testament to the hard work and dedication of Catherine Reed and her husband John. Every quarter, a new issue of the Livingston Herald simply appeared for distribution, belying the work required to produce it, and I'm sure everyone would join me in thanking them for their tireless efforts. The Reeds have left very high standards for me to live up to, and I shall do my very best to maintain them. Already, I have had fantastic support from our regular contributors, and I would positively encourage all members and friends of the church to feel free in coming forward with additional articles. The Church of Scotland is facing difficult decisions about its future and how it will look. This applies as much to our deal linked with Livingston as it does to every other congregation in Scotland. I feel it is vital that ordinary members are involved in the decision-making process. The magazine is the ideal platform to discuss the development of the church in Stevenson and practical steps we could take to achieve these aims. To this end, I would like to run a series of short opinion pieces on the thoughts and ideas of members on what the future of the church in Stevenson might look like. I am open to any suggestions on features for the magazine, and I can be contacted at magazine@livingstonchurch.org.uk or simply by talking to me on a Sunday. Please don't forget that this is your magazine and your contributions are the most important aspect of it.
And now the minister's letter. Dear friends, there was a woman who lost a coin in her house. The coin was precious to her, although she still had nine others like it. One was missing and she knew that it was difficult for her because she couldn't settle properly. That coin was missing. It was somewhere in the house, but it wasn't with the other nine. What to do? There was a shepherd who looked after 100 sheep. One day in the field as they grazed, he checked that they were all present and correct. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Where was number 100? The shepherd was perplexed. Where was the sheep? When did it go? It was difficult for him because although he did have 99 sheep accounted for, one was missing. What to do? We know the stories. The woman searches through her house, cleaning, sweeping, searching under things, behind things, between things, and eventually she finds that lost coin and rejoices, telling friends and neighbours that she has found the lost coin. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes searching through the grazing land in the hills, searching through the bushes and so on until he finds the sheep. He lifts it up onto his shoulders and returns it to the flock rejoicing, telling friends and his neighbours that he has found the one lost sheep. We find these stories in Luke 15. We are told that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. Heaven rejoices when just one who was lost is found and enters the kingdom. We've been given that great commission to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. We've been called to look after for the lost and rejoice when we find them. It sometimes seems a bit overwhelming, but that's the calling, to be disciples and to make disciples. In February this year, a small group from both congregations took part in a two-day workshop at Rochesy Parish Church in Glasgow, organised by Priority Areas. We came up with a plan which helps us start looking for the lost. There are three main parts to it. Stevenson Convention. As last year, a number of events over the last weekend of October led by a guest speaker to teach and inspire us to look at our own discipleship. Positive worshipping communities, looking at how we can rejoice and celebrate with each other in God's love. And developing missional communities. One of the challenges today is how we reach people in the 21st century and be church to them and with them. People, for a variety of reasons, don't always feel comfortable around what we do on a Sunday morning. Developing missional communities is about building groups of people around the parishes who come together for a specific reason and spend time exploring God in different ways. But whatever our circumstances, gifts and talents, we can at the very least pray. Pray for the way forward. Pray that we can connect with the lost and rejoice with each other when just one repents and enters into the kingdom. With every blessing to you and yours, Dave.
Prayer thoughts from Andrew Tomlinson. We can find encouragement to pray in various places in the New Testament. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 says, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people." And Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God all you need and thank him for what he has done." Like the drastic changes in society, changes in prayer life are every bit as dramatic. In primary one, my teacher taught us a prayer to say at the end of the day. In secondary, there was an assembly every morning for the whole school. Parents probably taught children prayers, just as mine did. Contrast this with the experience of most children today. Their exposure to prayer will be very limited, unlikely to be in school as a regular feature, and perhaps not even in the home. The prayer vacuum for most people continues into adulthood. And yet there is no shortage of resources giving us prayer prompts for daily prayer. Tear Fund and Scripture Union, to name but two. Recently, our minister Dave drew my attention to a website, www.thykingdomcome.global. Thy Kingdom Come is a global prayer movement which invites Christians around the world to pray between Ascension and Pentecost for more people to come to know Jesus. This began in 2016 as an invitation from the Archbishops of Canterbury and York, and has grown to be a worldwide call to prayer. This year, the focus is between the 30th of May and the 9th of June. The website contains lots of material for individuals, groups and church. Do have a browse. Through prayer, we can refresh and revive prayer life personally, in our families, in our church and in our town. Themes. Approach. Come before God humbly, but in the knowledge you are there at his invitation. Confession. Review your prayer life and ask God to forgive its weaknesses. Thanksgiving. Ministry. Give thanks for Dave Sutherland and his ministry with us and Brian Devlin in his role. Path of Renewal Priority Areas Conferences. Give thanks for the encouragement to consider innovation and not be afraid for it to fail or need adjustment. Shared Fellowship. Give thanks for the time and our dear and Livingston worship together. Faithful commitment. Give thanks for the commitment shown in various forms: Sunday attendance, Sunday school teaching, tea making, flower arranging, audiovisual work, maintenance, involvement in organisations. Intercession. Prayer life. Pray that more people will feel able to be part of the pre-service prayer time. Those experiencing hardship. Pray that those facing financial and other difficulties will find respite. Missional work. Pray that we start by reflecting Jesus' example to all we meet. Easter to Pentecost. pray that the church celebrations of this time will have an impact in the town.
Finance report. The church's report and accounts for 2018 have been passed by Presbytery and sent to the General Trustees, and I am at present completing the presentation to OSCR, that's the charity's regulator. This concludes the 2018 accounts. We can now see the effect of our Livingston Lives event on our collections. Compared to the same months last year, we have had a good percentage increase. This is good news, and I wish to thank you all for considering your givings, and especially those who are able to increase theirs. As your treasurer, it would be remiss of me not to point out the continuing disparity between our income and expenditure. While our financial situation is not as critical as it was at this time last year, we are still not breaking even. If we are to commit to mission and outreach as a church, then we need the financial resources to promote that. The church requires a minimum of £4,000 a month to cover its normal costs. Unfortunately, at present we are not achieving this. So I again urge you to consider your offering. When did you last think about how much our church needs just to stay open? I assure you, it does not get less year on year. A personal note. As our minister has said, we are in a time of change and need radical solutions. Are the buildings more of a burden than a blessing? Would it not be better to think on these things while we are still financially okay, rather than putting off difficult decisions? Financially, we could survive another few years, as we are, eating into our reserves to keep going, but to me that is a death by a thousand cuts, and not what we should be doing. For the annual stated meeting later this month, we should consider a future for Ardeer and Livingston in the next 5 years, without owning buildings. And that's from Finlay Kerr, our treasurer.
Fabric report from Arthur Taylor. Vestibule. Cracks in the paintwork in the vestibule and the stairway leading to the gallery have been repaired with polyfiller. We obtained sample pots of paint and tried them. The first was too different and has been painted over. The next try was with a colour that was in our store. We think this may be close to the original. The difference may be due to ageing of the colour on the wall. The second sample is on the wall outside the gallery door. This needs to be referred to the Church Committee on Art and Architecture, as it is part of the sanctuary. Church carpet. In the church, we found a piece of carpet we considered to be a trip hazard. This has been repaired with double-sided tape and carpet nails. Kitchen. An electrician has done a survey of the kitchen and issued his certificate. He had to do one piece of remedial work. The cabling between the ladies' toilet and the water heater was being overloaded. He installed an RCD-fused spur at the water heater. There are two other potential problems and one change of regulation that may need a fix. Manse. Dave reported two electrical problems at the manse, two sockets and the outside light. The electrician has done the necessary work. Back door. An observation aperture was fitted to the back door to the outside. Gallery windows. Old broken plaster and flaky paint beside the windows was removed. New plaster was put in and the windows area was repainted. Roofer. The roofer has been contacted and is waiting for better weather to proceed. Fire extinguishers. They have been inspected. Two had to be replaced due to age. Regulation states that all extinguishers should be hung on a wall or in a stand. I therefore had to approve two stands for the two extinguishers in the vestibule. They should not be moved from their present position.
Kirk Session News. At this time of year, the Kirk Session is asked to appoint an elder to represent us at Ardrossan Presbytery. Finlay Kerr has served for a number of years in this capacity, and I am pleased that he has agreed to continue in this post for session 2019-2020. I would like to take this opportunity on behalf of the session and the congregation to thank Finlay for all he does in and with Presbytery. This is also the time of year when we as a congregation must hold our annual stated meeting. This year our ASM will be held on Wednesday the 5th of June at 7 p.m. Following the business part of the meeting, we hope to have a light supper and a fun quiz. The fun is in inverted commas. The ASM is an opportunity for congregation to see the congregational accounts, to discuss them and raise any questions. As we diminish in numbers, finances of increasing importance, and it is hoped there will be a good attendance as we consider how we go forward being the church in the coming years. Our next joint session conference will be on Saturday the 1st of June, when elders will look at the role of the elder in the changing church. As I mentioned in the last magazine, health and safety is increasingly important within the church in order to comply with government legislation. It is the responsibility of everyone to ensure we comply with H&S regulations, from doing something as simple as mounting a poster on a wall to carrying out work on the church roof. Everyone will see changes in the coming months linked to the Church of Scotland guidelines on health and safety. As part of attending to these guidelines, electrical, asbestos and fire safety surveys will be carried out on the church and the halls by external professionals. Finally, the Kirk Session would like to thank Alan Kerr for this edition of the magazine and hope he hasn't found it too onerous, especially when people like me submit their article right on the wire. And that's from Sandy Hershaw, our session clerk.
Now, a report from the Guild Coordinator, Dorothy Pennell. Another Guild session has been completed. Like last year, it's been decided to have a lunch instead of a trip. Thanks to Sandra Erskine, we're going to see in Irvine for lunch on Tuesday the 7th of May. Before that, I must report on the Guild activities since the last magazine. Everyone agreed that our concert on the 26th of February was excellent. The Rural Revellers entertained us with a lovely selection of songs, with the odd amusing anecdote in between. The World Day of Prayer on the 1st of March, which should have been held in Ardeer, was held in Livingston and was enjoyed by all. On March the 12th, we were joined by the other guilds in the town. Dr. Pam Cairns told us about Seamus Project in India, which provides accommodation and schooling for the children from the red light district of Pune. A large building has been built in the countryside at Bore. Seema is the Indian lady who runs the facility, and the Free to Live Trust, founded by Dr. Cairns, supports the project. A remarkable lady. The final speaker I will mention was Marianne Greenway, who told us about her work with children on the autistic spectrum who need special help. It was lovely that her mum, Jean Patterson, could attend the Guild that day and see the members of the Guild interested in all Marianne has achieved. At our AGM on April the 9th, we dispersed money to the two projects, the Sailors' Society and Seamus Project. We had already sent 60 knitted hats, etc., to the chaplain of the Sailors' Society in Leith, and received a lovely letter back telling us that some of our hats are on their way to China. As usual, we sent donations to Erskine and the War Blinded. Our last day of the session was our daffodil tea on April the 16th, which Jean was going to attend, but it was not to be. The afternoon was well attended and we had more money than usual. A letter was received two days later from Crossreach telling us that there are people in desperate need of counselling for various addictions, waiting 10 months for help. So a donation of £100 was sent to assist that cause. The rest of the money was kept for any expense at the start of the new session. Finally, I must pay the greatest tribute to Jean Patterson. Back in 2001, Jean intimated to the congregation that the Guild could close if there were no new members joining. This made me feel guilty, and I decided to join. In 2004, I found myself coordinator of the Guild in Livingston and have been there ever since. So now you know it was Jean's fault. We will miss Jean tremendously, especially at our Burns afternoon, when Jean always said grace as she had the same birthday as Robert Burns, and on Shrove Tuesday when the Guild had Jean's famous pancakes. I now have the task of making up the syllabus for 2019 to 2020. You will have to wait and see how it unfolds, but I know that the loyal members will support me and maybe new members will join us.
The Youth Group. I have really enjoyed seeing the enthusiasm and commitment of the young folk in the youth group this session. They have helped plan their activities, have taken responsibility for explaining the game's format, and they have supervised them as well. I have been somewhat surprised at the variety and ingenuity of the ideas that I've come up with, in particular for the last three meetings of this session, which we hope to have out of doors. So, weather permitting, they will be making paper boats and sailing them along the shoreline. They will not quite be the size and magnificence of George Wiley's paper boat, which was launched in the Clyde in May 1989. We'll do with miniature ones, I think. There will also be a session of Olympic Games on the beach, and finally a barbecue on June the 16th. It hasn't only been about having fun and games. The group took an active part in the church service on Tuesday of Holy Week and made a great contribution to the evening by reading the prayers, doing the reflection, and explaining how to sing and do the actions for Alleluia, Praise Ye the Lord. Incidentally, the service is still available on the church website, and if you're able to look, it's well worth listening to. 12 of the members will also take part in the first aid course to be held in Livingston Church on the 15th of June. This will surely help if ever there's an SOS call for assistance. All in all, the group has made a great start, and we hope they will continue to develop as young adults, enjoy the fellowship of the group, and grow in the love and knowledge of God. And that's from Catherine Reid.
Dorothy Hershaw has submitted this preliminary report on the summer mission. This year, the summer mission will be from Saturday the 20th of July to Sunday the 28th of July. Plans are well underway for this year's summer mission. A small planning group from the three churches have met regularly with Catherine Reid and myself to devise a programme of events and activities. Currently, the activities planned are Saturday, 20th of July at 2 o'clock, Fun Day in the Highkirk Gardens. All are welcome, young and old. Why not come along and enjoy the fellowship and barbecue? Monday the 22nd to Thursday the 25th of July, from 11 o'clock to 1:30, Waste Watchers Club for children of Primary 2 to Primary 7 in the Highkirk Hall. Lunch is included. Tuesday the 23rd and Thursday the 25th of July, evening activities for Primary 6, Primary 7 and all secondary year groups in our dear church hall. And supper is included. Saturday the 27th of July, from 12 till 2, Messy Church in Livingston Church Hall, lunch included. All children must bring an adult. Sunday the 28th of July at 3 p.m, afternoon praise service in the Highkirk. The summer mission is an important joint outreach from the churches to the local community and a great chance to work in partnership and fellowship with our dear and the Highkirk. This very full programme demands a lot of help and support, and we've been very grateful in the past for the willing band of helpers from Livingston. If you feel that you can help in any way, please let Catherine or myself know. Please pray for God's guidance in the preparations for the mission week and for his blessing on all those involved.
And now we have an article from Susan and Ken Gibson, and it's about Easter 2019 in the Far East. This Easter, after spending a week in Singapore with our son Stuart, daughter-in-law Rain and baby Ailey, we all headed to Japan to meet up with our daughter Kirsty and her husband Ali, who had been there for a week before we arrived. The Japanese are very welcoming and a very proud people. We were impressed with the cleanliness of the streets, very few litter bins as they take the litter home to dispose of. We spent several days in Tokyo before taking a Shinkansen bullet train to Osaka. The route took us close to Mount Fuji. What an amazing sight, the conical-shaped mountain was topped with snow and had a magical aura about it. We spent 5 days in Osaka, visiting ancient temples, beautiful gardens, and browsing the fascinating shops. We took another Shinkansen to Hiroshima and the A-Bomb Peace Park, a very humbling and moving experience. After saying goodbye to the others, we headed to Shanghai in China for our last few days. It was Easter weekend, and we were invited by Rain's brother, Paul, to attend Easter Mass with him and his family. The church is in an affluent area of Shanghai, where the majority of residents are expats. Christian churches in China continue to be persecuted by the authorities. Paul explained to us that in order to attend the church, You had to hold a foreign passport, that's non-Chinese, and often there would be observers sent to services to ensure that this was adhered to, and also to listen to what was being said. The English language service was led by Father Joseph Zeng, a Chinese government-approved priest. It was a busy service. We reckon about 500 of a congregation. That was clearly more than Father Zeng expected, as he ran out of communion waivers. The Roman Catholic Easter ritual of a holy water blessing was so thorough that a member of the congregation who had to follow with a mop to dry the floor. The message, the homily, was one of our expectations of Easter and how relevant it still is. We sang familiar hymns, and 100 or so children took part in an Easter egg hunt at the end of the service. We came away from the Mass inspired and uplifted by the service and enthusiasm of the congregation. It was a full day later, after considering the implications of not having the freedom to express religious thought and to be able to worship freely, struck us. Now in our 60s, it is something we had never come across before, and perhaps is a bit sobering. Perhaps it's a sobering thought how we take our freedom to worship freely for granted.
And from Mary Wilson, World Mission Council Stamp Appeal. The 2019 Stamp Appeal will be supporting the Chikodi Women's Centre in Blantyre, Malawi, who deliver a broad range of skills training to address the challenges faced by women in Malawi. The centre aims to improve the women's socio-economic status and increase their chances of future employment. More information about the Chikodi Women's Centre can be found on the World Mission Council website at www.churchofscotland.org.uk/stamps. If you would like to donate stamps for this project, please leave them in the vestibule at the front of the church. And from Livingston Players, the cast of our 2018 pantomime Jack and the Beanstalk met in the church on Sunday the 24th of March to watch the video of the performance. It was a time to reminisce and reflect, as well as looking forward to our next production as early discussions began. Our drama group has been in existence for well over 50 years now. Times may have changed and people have come and gone, but our ethos has remained the same throughout: to have fun, entertain our audiences, foster a sense of community, and raise some money for charity, predominantly Christian Aid. We are delighted to announce that we've been able to send a record £3,200 to Christian Aid this year. That brings our total in the past 5 years to an amazing £12,500. Thank you all for playing your part and supporting us. If you would like to perform in our 2019 pantomime, registration and casting for adult members will take place on Monday the 12th of August at 7:30 p.m. Junior cast rehearsals begin on Sunday the 25th of August at 1:30 p.m. and adult cast rehearsals begin on Monday the 26th of August at 7:30 p.m. Remember to check our website, www.livingstonplayers.org.uk, for details of our upcoming production.
And now, appropriately, from Finlay Care, a note on Christian Aid. Christian Aid was founded in 1945 out of a desire of British and Irish churches to help refugees who were in desperate need after the Second World War. The founders looked at their current situation and were dissatisfied. They decided to do something to bring about change for good for those who needed it most and were powerless to achieve it themselves. This has been the continuing aim of Christian Aid over the past 70 years, to provide long-term support for poor communities around the world while highlighting suffering, tackling injustice and championing the rights of all people made in God's image. At times, this desire to bring about positive change has meant telling uncomfortable truths to those in power. Taking inspiration from the prophets who often told uncomfortable truths but whose mission was to turn things the right way. To show us a different present and what a different future might look like. Christian Aid will continue to help people speak up for their rights and lift themselves out of poverty. Your support during Christian Aid Week and the Christmas pantomime greatly helped this work. If you wish to read more details of some of the projects Christian Aid is involved in, There is a copy of the Christian Aid magazine available on the table in the vestibule. Feel free to take it home with you.
The Ethics of Aid. The following article was originally published in issue 88 of World Mission magazine. During the Just Festival, Carol Finlay took part in a panel discussing the ethics of aid. Here she shares some key points. The ethics of aid. Recently, I watched a short video request on a specific donation site. The person making the request and the place being highlighted was well known to me. The short 60-second plea for people to gift money for what I know is a very good cause made me feel very uneasy. The vocabulary and tone of voice gave the impression that the situation was grave, and if listeners did not empty their purses, then it would lead to many deaths, and particularly those of children. Was the film made with the intention of tugging at heartstrings and making people give because they either would feel guilty if they did not give, or indeed feel good if they did? Either way, is this the correct motive for giving? It is very easy to give. We've all done it, a pound in a collecting can or envelope, or more than likely a click of a button these days can allow us to feel we have done our bit. Do we sometimes even ask where the money is going? Will it be used for its intended purposes? So what do we mean when we talk about aid? The dictionary tells us that aid is a voluntary transfer of resources from one to another. But so often it is hung on the hook of achieving something for oneself in the process. Governments often give what is required to gain something else in return. We will build you a road if we can have access to mine your gold. In the same vein, as individuals, aid in one form or another often needs some sort of return. We will sponsor a child's education if we can have a photo each year to put on our fridge so visitors can see we're good people. How can aid, given for humanitarian reasons, become a way to forward global justice? Perhaps we need to see aid as not the gift, the one-off gift of money or goods, but as part of a longer-term plan to enable sustainable development, to reduce the effects of poverty, to combat climate injustice, and allow people dignity and opportunity to improve their own lives, families and communities. As we think about the ethics of aid, we need to see what we give as truly a gift, but one where the benefit is to the recipient, not to ourselves. Having the power to improve the lives of others is, for all of us, a privilege, and one that comes with its own sense of obligation. Acting on these powerful feelings of responsibility is one way to feel like we're living in a way that is true to our own ethical beliefs. So think before you click the donation button. Do not send the half pencils, the old clothing, or other things which you would not use yourself to your partner overseas. Talk with them. Seek out what will be of greatest benefit and will enable change, and act on that.
Quiz Corner. And the answers to these questions will be available in the next issue of the Livingston Herald. But if you can't wait, you can always look them up. You've got a very handy book. Starting with Old Testament questions. Number one, what wood did Noah use to build the ark? Question two, what did Nehemiah ask King Artaxerxes for permission to do? Three, which Old Testament character was tested by suffering and tragedy? 4. What is the name of Bathsheba's husband? 5. What is the fifth commandment? New Testament questions. And these have very happily been made multiple choice. 1. How many letters of John are there? 2, 3 or 4? Question 2, in what waters did Jesus tell the man born blind to wash? The River Jordan, the waters of Shiloh, the pool of Siloam? 3, which Gentile did the Jews of Asia mistakenly believe Paul had taken into the Jerusalem temple? Was it Julius, Septimus or Trophimus? 4. From where did the woman Jesus met at the well originate? Syria, Syracuse, Samaria. 5. How old was Jesus when he started his ministry? Was he 33, 30, or 28? Only one line from each of the following options accurately represents words from the book of Proverbs. Can you identify which it is? First of these, those who oppress the poor insult their maker, and then three options, but those who are kind to the needy honour him, but those who forget them entirely will be forgotten in turn, but the Lord will put them to shame. 2. Rash words are like sword thrusts, followed by either A, but the wise think before they speak, B, but the tongue of the wise brings healing, C, but a lying tongue cuts deeper, and 3, the light of the eyes rejoice the heart. Could it be A, but the word of the Lord renews the spirit, or B, and good news refreshes the body, or C, and music to the ears refreshes the soul?
The church diary for the next couple of months. Sunday the 2nd of June, Communion Sunday. Sunday the 30th of June, joint service for the 5th Sunday of the month will be at 10:30, and the location will be either Ardeer or Livingston. Still to be arranged. Saturday the 20th of July, in the Highkirk Gardens at 2 p.m, Summer Mission Fun Day. Monday the 22nd to Thursday the 25th of July in the Highkirk Hall, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m, the Waste Watchers Club for children, primary 2 to primary 7. Tuesday the 23rd and Tuesday the 25th of July in Ardeer Church Hall, evening activities for primary 6, primary 7 and all secondary age groups. And Saturday the 27th of July in Livingston Hall from 12 till 2, Summer Mission Messy Church. And should you need to contact the minister, Dave Sutherland, his address is 8 Priest Hill View, Stevenson, and his phone number is 608-993.